Hello, to each and every one of you. I'm so glad that you could join in on me with me today. I'm just going to come on and just share a little word to encourage your heart, and I named it press. We have to press on because this is a pressing walk. The enemy is throwing so many things toward us. I mean, he's throwing so many things, people, places, things, distractions. And if we don't be careful, we'll find ourselves getting caught up in the distractions, getting caught up in what people are saying, what people are thinking, instead of getting in the Word of God and pressing our way through prayer and meditation in the Word of God and spending time alone with the Lord. So we're going to talk about today the press. It is time to press. And we're going to take for a reference, we're going to be in Luke chapter 8, verses, I had said 43, but I want to start back at verse 40. And then I'm going to go on down. But we're talking about pressing. And as many of you all know, this is the story about the woman with the issue of blood. But I'm also going to start up here where Jairus had also approached Jesus for healing for his daughter. So we're going to start. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, for bringing us thus far. We pray that each and every person under the sound of my voice, that they would receive your word, Father God. They would exhale Shonda out and they would hear what your spirit is saying to the body of Christ today. Because many of your people are not wanting to hear what you're saying and the spirit is saying to the body of Christ. They want to go do their own thing, live their lives the way they want to live. They're trying to get more money now, trying to be something in this life, in this world, when we know that it's about to soon come to an end. But when we know that when our spirit leave our body, our soul leave our body, that is the end of our world. That is the end of our life on this earth. And we will go somewhere and spend eternity. Our soul will go somewhere, heaven or hell, but we must make that choice while we are alive and breathing and well. So we thank you right now, God, for your word. We thank you for your anointing that destroys every yoke. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. So let's go on to the word. Luke chapter 8. And we're going to start at verse 40. And it says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And when I was reading that, I thought about, like, when you are really real, you're really serving God, you're really living for the Lord, your people, some people will receive you and some people won't. And it could be for a number of reasons. A lot of times, when people are familiar with you or they think they know you or you're in their family or you've been around or whatever the case may be, it's hard for them to receive from you. This stuck out with me because it said when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him. But if you read the word, it tells us that even in Jesus' hometown, that the people wouldn't receive Jesus and I was like, oh my God, because if they only knew, they had the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, they had the healer, the deliverer, the savior, the redeemer right there in their hometown. They didn't have to go searching. They didn't have to go looking. He was right there. And that's how it is. And, you know, the Holy Spirit brought this to my memory. That's how it is. Even in some of our hometown, you've been chosen by God, some of our hometown, some of the people that God will place you in their lives. They get so comfortable with you and get so familiar with you and think they know you, they can't receive from you anymore. They can't. And so here you are, not to choose something great, but you are chosen by God. You have the Spirit of the Holy, you have the Holy Spirit, and he sent you to a specific place and for a specific time, and the people reject it because they look out, that's just Shonda. And then they've heard what other people have said about you. See, the enemy, he's very good at discrediting the Holy Spirit and the body of Christ. So what he do is he go out and he knows the call of the Son. He knows that you are powerful. He knows that you walk in the power of the Holy Ghost and you're chosen by God. And if anybody that would receive will be blessed and delivered and healed. But he got to keep the people blind and keep the people away from the power, the anointing. And he's not going to just let you walk up to there and let you walk up and get delivered like that. So what he do is he'll try to discredit. He'll try to murder. I like to use the word murder because you can murder people with your tongue. Go out there to kill, steal, and destroy. Kill your character. Don't follow LaShonda. Don't talk to LaShonda. Don't do this with LaShonda. You know they said this about her. You know they said this. See, the enemy plants these seeds of thoughts of negativity about this other person. And that person is really not. That person is actually the one that God has chosen to place in your life to help you to get where he takes you. But the job of the enemy is to come in to kill, steal, and destroy that. No, let them follow so-and-so. Let them be over here with so-and-so, one that's a devil, that's a demon, that's a witch, that's imparting spirits in their life, and they can't understand why their lives are in hell, why their lives are so torn up and torn up apart, because the one you chose to connect yourself with, not the one God chose to, but you chose to connect yourself with, talking about, I know it was the Lord. No, I know it was God. Which God? Okay, we're going to go on. But that's why a lot of people can't move forward in their lives, because they're connected with the wrong source. It's like a internet connection, or TV connection or whatever. You got to make sure you got it on everything set up on the right thing, set up right and properly, and the right keys in and everything, so that you can have the proper internet connection, so that you can get through to do what you need to do in order to connect to the internet to get the services, your Wi-Fi, whatever it is. So that's the same way it is in the body of Christ. God has people, and he has people, he has leaders, teachers, apostles, pastors, bishops, whoever. He has people that he wants to place in your life for a specific time and season to feed you the word of God, to help you, to help nourish you, to take you where he's taking you. But a lot of times, a lot of people, when they are familiar with someone else, or it looks like someone else is doing so well, and they may be, but that may not be who God wants you connected with. It's the job of the enemy to come in and to discourage you first, and then he speaking to your mind and plant seeds of negativity and doubt against the one that God really have for you to put in your place in your life. But he comes in and discredits you and come talk about him and put him down and lie on him. And then you listen to the devil and you go over there and you find out in the long run you wasted time, money, and everything. It's just time wasted. Because why? You did not receive the person that God sent to you, because you were looking at someone else, so you missed out on what God wanted to do in your life at that time and season. So it said, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And my next question is, how many of you all are actually really waiting on God to do something in your life? See, we get complacent, we get comfortable, we get tired, we get weary, and we miss out on the blessings of God, because when he don't come when we think he should, and when he don't move the way we thought he should have moved, we jump up and we step out and we do things on our own, and we mess ourselves up. Because we're not gladly waiting and receiving him, because a lot of and what he wants us to do, it ain't what our flesh wants. What does it mean to press? To press means to bear on with force. It's time for us to press our way into prayer, into the presence of God. I don't care if the phone, turn the phone off or put it in another room and silence it or do whatever you need to press. Get in the presence of God, because wherever you spend your most time at, that's what you're going to have on the inside of you. If you spend more time in your flesh working secular jobs and talking and gossiping and backbiting and everything else, running here and there and everywhere, and then you pick up a Bible on a Sunday morning, then you can forget it. You have not been in the presence of God. You have not prayed, spent time with the Lord. So it just doesn't work that way. You pick up the Bible, go in there, oh, yeah, we had a good time at service. Well, like I often say, you go to the club Saturdays and Friday nights, you have a good time at the club. So God is not about a good time. He's about power. He's about anointing. He's about a relationship. So press me to bear on with force. So no matter what the enemy brings our way, we have to press our way. It says here, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter about 12 years old, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him, meaning they were pushing. I'm trying to get to Jesus. I'm trying to get to Jesus. And I'm looking now at the world we live in, the most time when we really need him like never before. We need the power of the Holy Ghost like never before. Are you thronging him? Are you? But see, then they had him, literally had him, can touch him, can feel him, shake his hand, hug his neck. Oh, glory to God. And now we have the power of the whole of his spirit living within us. We can have his spirit living on the inside of us. So we don't have to push and press through a crowd. We can just press and push through the demonic forces. Through the warfare, we can press our way and say, you know, in the name of Jesus, we cast out every thought and every imagination that exalts itself against the word and the knowledge of God, and we bring it down into captivity. Hallelujah. We can bind and loose all of the forces that's trying to come against our minds when we get ready to get into prayer. We can bind all of those things. So now we have to press our way into prayer, press our way into the presence of God, lay out until you can get in the presence. Don't be so quick to just, well, lay me down to sleep and go to sleep. Mm-mm. We got to press our way. We need to get in that prayer. We need to spend time. Like when you first got saved, you was on fire for God. I mean, nobody couldn't tell you nothing. You were praying every day. You was fasting. You were just praying in the Holy Spirit. You were just, nobody could tell you anything. All you wanted was more of Jesus. I just want more. I just want more. I just want to spend more time with him. I love him. I want to love on him. And now the cares of this life have came and taken you away, and it's like, okay, Sarah or whatever. If I get a chance to pray, if I don't, praise God. Good night, Lord. Cover my family. Bless the people in the name of Jesus. And you snoring. And that's what he get all week. You got to press. You got to press. This is a press and walk. Now, here we go. 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which she had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Went to the doctors. They can't help her. She done spent all her money. She's still bleeding. Ain't got no more money. And now she's still bleeding. Let's see what it says. She came behind him. She came behind who? The healer, the deliverer, the savior. Hallelujah. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and she didn't give him a dime. That's what I love about it. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah. She didn't give him a dime. She didn't give him a dime. But she wasted all her money on a physician. It says she came behind him and touched the border of his garment. We don't have to touch the border, people. Ladies, listen to me. We don't have to touch the border. Because if you have his spirit living on the inside of you, you don't have to touch the boy. He is in me. Hallelujah. All I got to do is talk to him. All I got to do is lay out on my floor in the morning time, which I love to do. Just lay out on my floor and just cry. I don't ask him for nothing. I don't murmur. I don't complain. Lord, I love you. Oh, God, I thank you. I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you for healing my body. I thank you for deliverance. We have him on the inside. So we don't have to touch his garment. Oh, thank you, God. We are blessed, tremendously blessed. And immediately, it didn't say later, because some healing is progressive. And I give a testimony of, I have so many different ones, but I'm going to give one. It said, and immediately her issue of blood stopped. This one says stanched, but it stopped. Now, let's go on. And Jesus said, who touched me? Now, he's God. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's our Lord and Savior. He should know who touched him and what they wanted. But he said, and we got to remember now, at the time, he was down here in the flesh. But like now, like I say, he do know all things. But listen to what he said. Then he have known that, but this is what he said, because it's a different type of touch. That's where I'm going with this. And Jesus said, who touched me? What does it mean to touch? Touch means to come into or be in contact with, press, encounter something. Who touched me? So he's saying, who who is coming into or being connected with me? Who is pressing their way into my presence or into me? Who is this? Hey, hallelujah. Who is touching me? It's time for us to lay out on our faces before the Almighty God. It's time to cry out to God. It's time to press our way. I don't care come hell or hot water. I don't care what they do, what they say, what they think. It's time to press. I'm going to press my way. I'm going to keep on praying, keep on believing, keep on speaking, keep on praying, keep on believing until what? Till I know I have touched him. Come into or be in contact with. Press, encounter something. I got to encounter something. I gotta keep on pressing until this thing that I'm pressing for, to this thing that I'm praying for. He say, who touched me? He said, oh, I'm going to use my soul. LaShonda done been down and fasting for some days and praying, and she been crying out to me. She been speaking my faith. She done touched me. She done came into contact with me. She done pressed her way. Even though it was all odds was against her, even though they talked about it, even though they lied on it, even though the enemy set traps for her, even though the enemy afflicted her body with sickness and tried to kill her, she still pressed her way. She still got in contact. She still came to me. She still is, now I'm going to come down. I'm going to do something on my daughter's behalf. I got an encounter. So he moved because I kept pressing, and I touched him. Touched him. We need to touch him today. We don't need to go through no stale, dead program and religion every week. Same thing. Pick up your program. Read your program. Go through the program. Even if you don't have a piece of paper you go by, you still do the same rituals every Sunday, every week. Sing some songs. The choir sing some songs. Ain't living nothing. Ain't got no power. Don't know the Lord. Ain't been born again. Sing some songs. Shout a little bit, roll on the floor, mess up our hair and everything else, sweat a little bit, get up out of there, and the problems, the issues, the sin is still in you because you didn't give nothing up. You just dance. Same thing you do at the club, but you did it in a different place and a different style. And you did not touch him. You come to him in repentance. You coming to him lowly. Hallelujah. And you come to him believing that you shall receive whatsoever you ask. That's the word. If it be in his will. Let's read on. What did he say? And Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee and said, thou who touched me? In other words, oh Lord, you're saying who touched you. There are a lot of people touching you. But he wasn't talking about that type of touch. This is what he said in verse 46. And Jesus said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive, or I see, or I feel, I understand that virtue is gone out of me. Yeah, I know it's a lot of folks thronging in the physical on me. I feel them, but that ain't what I'm talking about, Paul, Peter. That ain't what I'm talking about. Somebody touched me. Somebody came into contact with me. Somebody is finna encounter something. Because I felt virtue. What is virtue? A beneficial quality or power of a thing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to come in, cleanse us, purge us, sanctify us, fill us to the brim over and over and over again with the power of his blood. Hallelujah, Jesus. We need to be refilled. Hallelujah. He said, I make my ministers flames of fire. Where's the fire that burn everything unlike God up out of you? Do you want to be purged today? Do you want to be cleansed today? Do you even desire to live holy and sanctified? Sanctified ain't no denomination. It just means you are clean and you are set apart for God's use. Hallelujah. That's what sanctification means, is your heart clean. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's what he wrote today. He said the virtue is gone, the power. People should be able to walk in your presence and you full of the Holy Spirit, because see, the power of the Holy Ghost to live inside of you if you're born again, if you've been filled. Hallelujah. Like Paul asked them, he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Where's that power at? That power, people should walk around you. Demons should tremble coming in your presence. Have you come to torment me? Yes, I hear so many times some people say, Oh, I don't know, LaShonda, but it's like when she come around, I just get this feeling inside. It ain't you. It's them demons in you. They get that feeling. Because anywhere that the Holy Ghost go and there's power, I can guarantee you, honey. I can guarantee you, honey, ain't no wrong spirit up in here around me, because I don't play with demons, devils, or witches. And I'm sure not one. So anyway, and the devil knows that. But anyway, so I just get this feeling when she comes. Yeah, them demons get that feeling because they know they start trembling like them demons did. And that man, he said, have you come to torment me? Because, yes, we should all be tormentors of devils and demons. They should feel comfortable around the power of the Holy Ghost. You ain't got to open your mouth when you step on the ground or when you step in the building. They know you're there. Hallelujah. They know you are there because of why? The power. And people should come around us. They come around us full of sin. They come around us full of demons. The Bible says we are to cast out demons. So they come around you full of demons. Oh, they can't stand in that presence of God. It ain't that you so great. You're just a vessel that's holding us. The powerful power in the whole wide world, which is the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not about you. Hallelujah. You're just a yielded vessel. Glory to God that carried that power. And people come to you, they throng. I got to get to her. I got to get to him so that I can just touch the hem. But if I know that they walk in the power of healing, because I know that they really sold out to the Lord thy God, and they are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. And he said they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So I got to get there. But the demons are uncomfortable around you. Why? Because of the virtue, the power. And that's where God is taking us in the end times. And I hope you can go with us. Hallelujah. You got to press your way. What does press mean in the Bible? To act upon through steady pushing or thrusting forth, exerted in contact. I got to keep pressing my way to get in this prayer, because the devil ain't going to make it easy. He's going to send all type of distractions. I got to cut him down, cut him out. I got to cut whoever off and whatever off, and I got to get in prayer. I got to make that. I'm going to get in prayer. I'm going to press my way to get in prayer. I'm going to press my way to praise my God. I'm going to press my way. Hallelujah. This is a pressing way. I'm going to press my way. And then I put a little sign note that says to squeeze out the juice or contents of. See, some of us, we got so much stuff in us that, unlike God, he take us through purging, through cleansing, for sanctification. He got to get some of that junk out that ain't like him. And when we going through the pruning and up process, we start getting uncomfortable and it start hurting a little bit, and people start talking about you, and God trying to separate you from people and trying to get you off to yourself to where he can deal with you, and you don't want to let go of this person or that person. And God said, no, I got to cut them off from you. They don't mean you no good. They smile in your face and talk about you behind your back. They don't mean you no good. I know you pray for them. I know you help them with the word. But then when you ain't around, they talk about you. They don't. They're not really for you. They smile in your face, and all the time they want to take your place. They jealous of the anointing that's on your life because they won't allow me to purge them and cleanse them. They stuck in sexual sin and perversion. So they jealous of you. So they smile in your face. Hallelujah. So I got to cut them off from you, because, see, they trying to tank you. He's saying that they let them go. So I got to squeeze everything, all the content and stuff that's unlike me in you, so I can make you a vessel of honor. Let him squeeze you today. Let him purge you today. Cut off who needs to be cut off. Because if you don't mean me no good, or if anybody would know, it would be my Father in heaven. His eyes are never closed. Hallelujah. I might think you're my buddy. I might think you're my friend or sister in the Lord, and all the time you a witch trying to kill you. You've been assigned to assassinate the vision and whatever God has in my life. You're a witch, and you've been assigned to throw on your little smile and your little praise the Lord and you're speaking in tongues, but I see right through that spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let him do it. Ecclesiastes 9 and 11 says, the race is not to the swift nor the battle to the strong, but to the one who holds out. You got to hold out in here. You got to stay in this battlefield. You can't, as my husband likes to say, you can't go AWOL as a soldier of God in the arm of the Lord. You got to stay in here. They that endure to the end. If I have to hold on by a thread, God, I'm going to hold on. I'm going to keep pressing my way. I don't care what it look like, feel like, or sound like. I don't care who talks to me, who don't, what they say about me. I don't care if a person ever knock on my door, ring my phone. That's fine. My best friend is my husband anyway. I don't have buddies and cliques. So if you ever speak to me again, I love you, but I'm not going to lose any sleep. Believe that. Believe that. So first, we must stay focused. Secondly, we must press on. Stay focused. Do you know the vision that you have that God has given you? Do you know your identity and your purpose, what you were created for and where you are headed and what you're going to do? When you don't know that, then you're lost out here. The devil will whoop you down and beat you down. Why? And you'll get put in any position anybody puts you in, or you'll accept any position anybody place you in because you don't know the position you belong in yourself, because you don't know why you was created, for your purpose, why you was created. You don't know that you have that when you come over here and been born again, you got power over all sickness and disease. You got power and authority over all demons and devils. That's according to the word of God. There are benefits for being over here, and we have power. We have the anointing that destroys all yokes. Hallelujah. So you have to know the power that you have as a woman, as a man, and born again believer of Christ. Hallelujah. What does it mean to press in prayer? And then I'm going to close this out because I'm getting down to my end. It means going against the odds to do something. It means despite every obstacle that stands in your way, you force your way through. I don't care what it looked like. I don't care what the doctor said. I'm going to force my way through prayer. I'm about to have to close. My time is winding up. So I want to give this quick testimony. My testimony is I had a while back, I think it's a month back, I had been hurt real bad on my side, and I figured it was my ovary. And I had went to the doctor, and they did a little scan, and they told me that I had a cyst on my ovary. And I told my husband what they said and everything, and I was in pain. And some days I would really be in pain. It would hurt for me to even sit up. And my husband, he anointed my side, both of them. He prayed. He laid hands on my side. And I put my hands on top of his, and we prayed. And my husband commanded that cyst, the tumor, whatever was on my ovary, to go. He said, melt down like wax, and you come out of my wife. By Christ's right, she is healed. Hallelujah. And I had to go for a follow-up appointment. So they want to check in and see if it's gotten any bigger or what they were going to do about it or whatever. And I had told the Lord, I said, I don't want to have surgery. I really don't. I said, but if I have to have it removed, I have to remove it. I said, but I believe that you're going to heal me. I just stand on that. And I said, my husband, I'm praying. He's my covering. My spirits are covering. And we both believe. We walk in the authority that you gave us. And I went to the doctor week before last for my scan. And the lady told me, she said, I'm telling you, Miss LaShonda, she said, the cyst is gone. Everything is clear. Your cervix, your uterus, everything is clear. She said, but now sometimes the cyst will reappear. I said, this gone. It's gone to stay. Hallelujah. So I just want to say, we got to press our way. We got to tell the devil, you a liar. You are a liar. I still stand on the word of God. I still believe God. We got to press our way regardless to what it looked like, feel like, or sound like. I could have said, well, I was hurting so bad, I'm just want to go on for me, but I didn't. My husband prayed, like I said, and I prayed with him. He laid hands on me. We spoke it. We believed it. Went to the doctor, and it was gone. So you can't tell me that my God ain't real and that God don't still answer prayer, and that sometimes we just got to press our way when you're living. So I'm getting ready to go off of air. You can reach me and contact me by LaShonda Williams, LaShanda Williams, the number 1010 at AOL.com. I pray I said something that bless you. God bless and have a blessed day.